Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
You can't stay at 164 miles per hour forever. Words that have been written by one of the contributors to the latest edition of Fly Me to the Moon. Could it be newbie Sean Rye? I don't know. Sean, is that the sort of line you would have come up with?
Probably not. It's very inventive.
It is very inventive. I thought that actually, but you know, it's the sort of thing that basically our Tyneside soul, former Tyne Tees producer, now of course fine writer, Ian Lennox might have come up with. You can't stay at 164 miles per hour forever, can you, Ian?
I never have reached that speed, actually, so I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And Jenny Bill, well, frankly, the notion of a train actually travelling at that sort of speed, frankly, it's too scary to actually contemplate. Thomas Bartley is the man who actually has added that to the awesome Fly Me to the Moon magazine, issue 634, jumping ahead there, of course, the Reading game. And we do, of course, welcome, as we say, a newbie as far as the podcast is concerned, but clearly a key contributor to the whole essence of Fly Me to the Moon, with the strapline, "No Panic" from Carrick, Sean Rye. I mean, wonderful. As you can see, we've got the Carrick Meister behind us with our studio-based thing here. You've got the Riverside there. Clearly, we didn't want to actually have anything to do with the Carabao Cup because Ian doesn't want to talk about that. And I can understand why. It's important. He likes the other side up at Tyneside. It's a shock, I know. Let's turn to you first, Sean. The results have been phenomenally successful so far, but it all went slightly wrong at the Hawthorns.
It did, Helen. It went a little bit awry. Pardon the pun on my own name there. But it wasn't the best result. But I think a little bit of context probably needs to be applied. I mean, obviously, we had the five straight victories before that. And this being the championship, you know, you're not going to win every game. And I think it was really heartening for me to see the reaction from the Borough fans. There wasn't any clamour for players to be dropped. There wasn't any panic about the system. It was just an acknowledgement that you can't win them all, I think.
I mean, that's really critical in terms of the way in which it's going, because obviously the dream of automatic promotion, it's still there. It's still tangibly there. Sheffield United clearly are doing everything in their power to ensure that isn't the case. Although, again, looking ahead to the return of Paul Ince to the Riverside, we would probably anticipate three full points from that relatively straightforwardly.
Yeah, I think We've got to be careful how we approach it. I think this is one of those games that a lot of fans would expect us to get the 3 points from, and I'm one of those that certainly hopes that that is the case. But we need to approach probably every game really in the way that Michael Carrick does. He doesn't add any extra impetus or emphasis on every game, and I love the fact that for him, he sort of looks inwardly at the team, concentrates on his team, puts a team out there to win. And I think that is consistent with whether we're facing Norwich or West Brom away or Reading at home.
I love the positivity, Sean. In fact, you now actually take the official line of most positive Fly Me to the Moon contributor, because sometimes we have the curmudgeonly nature of Jenny Bill, everything's doomed, and Sheffield United give her Christmas boxes, etc. Ian Lennox, of course, has mentioned a Newcastle United soul. And Rob Nichols, even, he's back with us now. But Rob, I have to say, a little bit of bitterness coming through from your good self in the editorial to issue 634. A little bit of bitterness about financial fair play and Sheffield United, Rob. I was shocked. Is this the result of your kind of interaction with Steve Gibson and the finances that fill the centre spread of the Borough cost of living?
I think it's I didn't mean it to be come across as bitter. I'm just saying it's a reality that the team that are in second are absolutely struggling off the field. We've seen that with our opponents this week, Reading, the suggestion that they might actually lose points. It's happening too often in the Championship. And so I'm glad. The other thing that I profiled in the fanzine was the white paper that came out, which is trying to wrestle with this, with the government trying to looking to appoint an independent regulator, because football's in a real mess. And the teams that they're trying to challenge are getting into all sorts of trouble. And the suggestion is that clip edge from the Premier League financially to the Championship is just is getting ever bigger. And for clubs to try and compete with the clear up the parachutes money, it's just beyond them. So Sheffield United need to go up, actually, because they're in a transfer embargo as it stands. And if you're in a transfer embargo when you've actually got parachute money, then you're in a real problem as a club.
Fair points.
How long does the embargo last, though, mate? How long does the embargo last, though? There's not going to be a heck of a situation if they promote it and they can't bring people in.
Well, I presume that they're going to have to meet sort of... basically, what they did was they bought two players and they were unable to fulfil the instalments. You buy them over three or four instalments, and they weren't able to do it for one of the players and bought another player at the same time. So I assume they're going to have to prove that they're financially capable.
Rob, with respect, do we care? It's Sheffield United. All right, let's step away. Let's move to the author of what we launched the programme with today, the actual quote of this particular episode: "You can't stay at 164 miles per hour forever." I thought he might have gone kilometres, but it is former master, now, of course, Mr. Thomas Bartley. How are you, Thomas?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. How are you, Alex?
Excellent. Oh, great to connect with your good self. And life in the Championship fast lane. I mean, I'm impressed with the fact that you can actually cite Armando Iannucci as the source of that particular balance. But can you explain, for the benefit of the less erudite amongst us, why you decided to actually go for that pedal to the metal? This is Middlesbrough really soaring up the Championship.
Yeah, well, I'm a purveyor of odd cultural references, really, as anyone who's ever read any of my articles will know. And this one is particularly niche because it's a TV show which I don't think was very successful at the time, but obviously a lot of people know Armando Iannucci from The Thick of It and Death of Stalin and other things. But yeah, it's just this sketch where this family are on the motorway and they realise that 164 miles per hour is the perfect speed to travel because you can seamlessly go down the highways, and
illegal. I just want to point that out in case we're encouraging. Yeah. You know, I don't want Rob to get a sort of call from somebody who said, but they said on Fly Me Something in the podcast, 164 miles per hour is the ideal speed. It's not going to help.
Yeah,
for legal purposes, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's just the whole show is basically like this weird imaginary dream. But yeah, so I thought it's a good way to describe that feeling that we're in now, where it feels like nothing can stop us, and we've not quite caught the sense of expectation yet, but at the same time, it certainly feels like it's approaching as we reach this stage of the season.
Nothing can stop us now, and a weird, crazy dream. Rob, was that the impression that you got when you spoke to Steve Gibson at the Middlesbrough Supporters Forum about season ticket prices and such like? And although obviously the hope is that it'll be for 19 games as opposed to 22 games, there's still a certain tension in the air. I just say go and watch Middlesbrough Ladies. I mean, £6 is a ridiculous thing to actually see them play Stockport at home.
Yeah, it's a fantastic price. They play at the home of Stockton Town, the MAP Stadium in Stockton. I think everybody loves watching the women's game and their triumph last in the summer. And it'd be really nice to get behind them and to think of them as our club, as much our club as the men's team. So yeah, I want to sort of really sort of feature more things to do with the women's team in future, and this is just a starting point here.
Absolutely, just the very start. Jenny, your thoughts on in terms of Middlesbrough's progress so far? I mean, what's your prediction? Do you feel as though, Borough are obviously going to go to Wembley and secure promotion via the playoff route?
I think they will, and I hope they will. I was going to say they've kind of surprised me because they've recently they've been really, really good. So I think they will. I think they will go to the playoffs.
That, of course, is one of the big challenges. You know, they have surprised so many people, and it's almost as though it's unusual. I mean, it's a bit like, as I say, Ian had to stop his writing because of Newcastle United's fine run of results. It ended, but, you know, these things do. Let's hope you don't actually get a resurgence over the weekend, is all I can say. But, I mean, Ian, you wouldn't like the... Honestly, I mean, there's a caption of two dinosaurs with basically the line, "Dad, do you remember when Newcastle last won a cup?" You know, it's painful. I can understand why Rob didn't actually incorporate in terms of that. You know, really,
they won the first cup in 1969. I remember because I was going on a date with my soon-to-be wife.
Well, you know, it happens. However, Rob, before we actually start talking finances and issues, and in fact, let's go. Sean, season tickets and prices and costs, etc. I mean, you're clearly an absolute dyed-in-the-wool Borough fan, big supporter of Michael Carrick, etc. Is this a case of it's inevitable? You know, yeah, you want promotion, you want Premier football, but obviously there's going to be a cost implication with respect to that.
To a certain extent, yes, I think so. And he obviously made the point that there's a lot of concessions and that the average price isn't, you know, the full whack. And I think, did he remark something around the 50% mark of all of the tickets would have some sort of concession attached to it?
Yeah.
So, yes, I agree to a certain extent. Everything is going up, but I think it would have been nice for people to not have such a big rise on the football as well as everything else that's going up. Let's not forget there is a cost of living crisis and utility bills and everything else is going up, and football is an escape for a lot of people, and it's something that they maybe haven't thought about having to sacrifice, but it's an extracurricular thing that a lot of people will not be able to manage that going up. So it's a really difficult balancing act. I know that he made, was it 9 points Steve Gibson made, that reasons for them going up, which, you know, is one thing. But if people can't afford it, those points won't matter, because people will, you know, it will affect the attendances. There's no two ways about it, I don't think.
And getting attendances of averaging 25,000 at present isn't bad, but clearly, as we see when you look at the centre spread and the way that the figures are actually broken down, and Rob perhaps can talk us through this, they actually sort of make somewhat stark reading when you realise that actually there's not a great deal of the ticket price that actually can go to sustain the club, ultimately.
No, that's right. I think when we had the meeting with Steve Gibson, there was one side, the fans were saying, well, look, it's going to cost me £30 a match or plus, or, you know, however much for a season ticket. And on the other side, Steve Gibson was saying, well, I only get £12.37 from each ticket. And that, so we're going from different directions, but so I asked him afterwards, could he break that down? I just seemed like an amazing that you only get £12.37 per ticket. So he did. He has shown his working out, so to speak, as to how it arrives at that figure. And as you said, there's over 50% of the tickets any match day are concessions. I mean, and obviously the healthy side of that is brilliant. We're looking after the seniors who've supported Borough through thick and thin, and they should, they're absolutely valued for all the time they've been Borough fans, and that there's continuing to go. And the other healthy part of it is that so many of the young kids are coming into the game now, because that was a massive problem when we were in the Premier League. Looking around the Premier League, I remember in the late 90s, the average age of a Premier League ticket holder was in his mid 40s. So what would that be like now for clubs like Arsenal? I dread to think. So you've got to get younger fans in, but it does leave the club with very little money coming in, and that's the problem with the Championship. Is you do, the TV deal that they signed was absolutely woeful. They get next to nothing, and if you look at both our Easter fixtures this morning, they've both moved. And the Good Friday one is first versus third. We play Burnley at home. It's a big game. Obviously, the TV cameras want to go. But it's moved from midday to 8 p.m. And that's going to preclude, even though it's Easter holiday, it's going to preclude a lot of those young kids are not going to be able to go to that match. And then lots of people relying on Jenny's public transport. There's no trains.
Yeah, I'll point out on Jenny's behalf, she doesn't actually run all the railway stations.
Run the train.
And coordinate them, but she can't take the whole flak for the whole thing. I mean, No.
I'm just saying, as Jenny knows, she's probably the one that, you know, she might be at the station, which is the public transport system in this country is very, very difficult.
Sorry, Rob, you say we have a public transport system in this country, do we? News to me.
It's dubious as to whether we do. It's outside of London, I don't think it really exists, does it?
We're talking costs, etc. I want to get Thomas's input on this, but Ian, from your own perspective, you know, you're with a side that we will be playing next season. Sir, see that confidence there. And what's the state of play there? Because obviously St. James Park usually gets capacity crowds, even more so these days. Do you just basically sell your grandmother or something?
I think we've got a waiting list for tickets of 20,000, I think. I remember that was happening in the 90s as well. And one of the peculiar things I noticed at that time, during the Keegan era, was that people had group bought tickets. You would get them, you get two or three people buying a season ticket and dividing the matches up between themselves because they couldn't afford it. And that to me was, it's just wrong, you know. We've just taken, but there's a real danger of us pricing the genuine supporters out of the game.
Yeah, it's not really the people's game, perhaps.
To me, it is a people's game. It always has been. It's a working class game. It has been. The spectators kept it going for decades, and they're mainly working class people. And if we're going to just grab every penny we can from tickets, unfortunately now, the money you get from the revenue you get from ticket sales is a relatively small amount of the money a club can get in the Premiership level of their income. It's all television and sponsorship deals and shirt sales. I mean, Newcastle's income has got to be, under the financial fair play rules, will increase dramatically, hopefully, next season because they'll be able to get their new shirt deal in. And things like that. And that's a bigger thing at the higher echelons of football. It's not so much the spectators. It's the commercial deals they've done. But we didn't do any commercial deals for years.
In the immortal words of Oscar Wilde, the cynic knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. Now, Stan has already said that he's having difficulty going to away games as a single person. He goes just by himself to Borough home games, manages that. Thomas, obviously, you got your dad as well from that point of view. What's life in the Bartley household? Is it a case of, you know, well, we're just going to have to find some affluent person to actually sponsor us to go?
Well, I mean, on the point of away matches, the West Brom game on Saturday, which I went to, was £10 for, I think it was 18 to 21 category, which is, you know, obviously brilliant. I mean, that's a whole other issue in itself in terms of standardising away ticket prices. But yeah, I mean, it's really tricky. I mean, first of all, I mean, Steve Gibson actually addressing fans and outlining in some detail what the thinking behind this is obviously very helpful for us to understand because we don't understand it from the commercial aspect of the club. I mean, it's always going to be really tricky because I think the reality is that the price of football even 10 years ago or 5 years ago was already cutting out a lot of people. It's been a long-term trend. Price rises, I mean, they're certainly with the season ticket prices, trying to keep it as modest as possible, whether or not there'd be a massive change in match day prices if we were to get promoted, I'm not sure really. But yeah, I think it is very tricky, but I am pleased that the club have outlined their position on this. And, you know, as Rob was just saying there, the breakdowns are quite remarkable, really, of the little that you could come away with from even the price of one ticket.
We've reached the stage where Rob and myself will do an attempt to actually get Jimmy Flynn's poetry captured with Berwick Hill's football skills. But whilst you're actually checking this out, Sean and Thomas, as you are making your debut, very auspicious, it's like Tuba Akform, and Sean in particular, like he's doing the whole thing. I'm going to set you a little task because obviously you've been privileged, like myself, to get a preview of the latest Fly Me to the Moon fanzine, etc. I'd just like you to come prepared, basically, with who you would nominate. It's a new feature. I haven't even spoken to Rob about this. It's so new. Who would you nominate as having the article of the fanzine? Okay, it's the article of the fanzine award. Rob might even have a little prize or something that we could actually put together. Again, yeah. I haven't spoken to you about this, Rob, but you know, I think that's it. I mean, I would have offered it to Jenny and Ian, but they're not going to read about a fanzine. Well, Jenny might, but anyway. Work on that basis. Article of the fanzine. Whilst, of course, we give you a little bit of audio accompaniment. With, of course, Berwick Hill's Football Skills by Jimmy Flynn. Take it away, Rob.
As schoolboys in 1950s Berwick Hills, we tirelessly honed our football skills.
For hours we would kick a ball around as a love for this beautiful game we found.
Any ball, any make or size would bring a glint into our eyes.
The mud-covered common was our Wembley, where stars of the day we would pretend to be.
On a carpet of divots, dog dirt, and weed-strewn grass, we learned to tackle, dribble, and pass.
Full-scale games, three pots in, attack and defence, the enjoyment derived immeasurably immense.
On and on the games would go, for hours on end, to and fro.
Players would join and players would leave, this magical theatre of football make-believe.
As daylight faded, we would make the switch to our floodlit all-weather pitch.
The junction of Kinver Close and Skelworth Road was the concrete surface we effortlessly bestrode.
Tirelessly continuing our attack and defensive roles with lamplit signposts, our ready-made goals.
Playing deft one-twos with garden walls, sometimes taking painful falls.
Bumps and bruises, the price we paid as the beautiful game we intrepidly played.
With unflinching enthusiasm, we would pounce on the balls every bobble and bounce.
Finally, as the days drew to an end, our way home we would wearily wend.
Where mothers would be waiting at back doors, overseeing the deposit of mud-caked clothing on kitchen floors.
Oh, to once more experience the thrills of schoolboy footballers in 1950 Berwick Hills.
I never thought Jimmy Flynn would have actually done a Jumpers for Girl Place. Do you? Yes, do you? Really? Really? It's awesome stuff. And indeed dedicated, Rob, to his friend Tony Lee. Effectively was there, and also a Berwick Wickleyan, to use the sort of full line of that particular side of things. Excellent. Ian, your thoughts on that particular bit of poetry?
I love those sort of bits of nostalgia, right? Because it took me straight back to when I was a kid, and we actually played in back lanes, and we used to play against the doors, you know, the single doors, and there was always some irascible old lady who looked about 93 to us who come out and, come on. And we played in the street as well because there's so few cars.
Ian, you have become that irascible old lady, you know, quite literally.
Yes,
you know?
I am. I had the strength to wave my walking stick at them.
that's okay. And Jenny, did you feel it cut the mustard for you?
Yeah, I like all of the poetry, actually. I'd like to have a go at reading it, actually.
Well, you buy the magazine, love. That's what you do. You actually post it. It's only £1.50. That's the key
thing. I'll
just speak to my friend Rob for a free
gift. Yeah, sometimes you just got to pressurise. You know, a little bit of push for the actual purchasing. That's it. You get articles by Sean Rye, articles by Thomas Bartley, articles by Chris Bartley. I mean, you know, what's not to love, for God's sakes. Anyway, quite apart from that, I'm on a rant, obviously. John Motson passed away. I was initially taken aback by, I think, Specky Getz's initial line, Rob, because I thought, surely not. But I thought I'd test this, actually. There's some people on the pitch, they think it's all over. Was said originally by whom, Sean?
Sorry.
Some people on the pitch, they think it's all over. Which commentator said that?
Kenneth, I know this.
Kenneth Wilson from Store.
Yeah, so close. Yes.
Because I'm sure,
Ian, you must have worked with Ken Wilson-Home when he actually took over the commentary really.
No, I didn't. And the next line was, it is now, because that was Jeff Hurst put the ball in the net.
Absolutely.
It was one of the most perfect bits of commentary there's ever been, I think.
Next one might be a bit tough, but I'll give it to Thomas. Thomas, look at his face. Just look at his face. Who said that? And it wasn't John Motson.
It's the great Barry Davies.
Yes, absolutely. Particularly cutting through the quick because it was Francis Lee scoring for Derby County against Manchester City. But never mind, that's by the by. And I think it was Martin Tyler who had the Aguero moment. So, yes, yeah, so it was one of those things I thought, you know, cited that. But as he says himself, he doesn't quite have the level of research that John Motson actually provides.
No.
Okay. Rob, are you looking forward to tomorrow's game? Or indeed, whenever you're listening to this, it may be in a few hours' time. Who knows? But what's your thought? Do you feel as though it's easy? Or is it a case of, oh, Paul Ince could come back and haunt us?
It's never easy. And it's been a case through this season that under Carrick, we've always bounced back from defeats. And we've got to do that again tomorrow. Thomas was at the West Brom. It was a bit of a shock. That we were defeated in that way, and it's very important that we bounce back at the first attempt. But yeah, Reading are no mugs really. And one thing we've seen about Paul Ince's Reading this season is that they basically he's had a few arguments with reporters after matches, and at times because of negative tactics, being accused of just wasting time at Sunderland recently. So. We can look out for that. Let's hope we get an early goal and we don't see all the players playing for time from the kickoff.
And of course, Andy Carroll could well be in the lineup, basically.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I mean, he scored a few goals against us over the years, unfortunately. But Joe Lumley won't be in goal, Alex. Joe Lumley's on loan to Reading from us, and I think a lot of Borough fans might have wished he would be in goal, but he's had a very good season for Reading. It does mean that they'll have a change keeper, doesn't it?
This is
so
true.
That's going to weaken them.
So, Sean, are you confident? And would you like to give a score prediction?
I'm quietly confident, yeah. I think we need to get out the traps quickly. And I think we really need that intensity back in our play. And I think we've been a little bit a victim of our own success in that. Teams are now expecting us to be sort of one of the top teams up there, and that we find it difficult to get in behind defences because they're sitting off us. And when we saw when West Brom went in front and they didn't have to come out of that position, we saw how difficult it was. So I'm hoping for a quick start and a 2-0 win.
Yeah, which would obviously set up nicely the whole notion of March, because of being away to Swansea City on the 11th of March, followed by a home game on the Tuesday against Stoke City on the 14th of March, and then another home game, of course, when we'll have another Fly Me to the Moon podcast beforehand on the 17th, which is, of course, Saturday the 18th of March, Middlesbrough versus Preston North End. Conceivable 12 points from March, do you feel?
I think so. I think, you know, we'd got that air of invincibility when we won five on the trot, and that's not to say that it should be expected, but I think under Carrick we've got something ridiculous like a 72% win rate. I mean, that's absolutely phenomenal, and we've got to a stage where he doesn't underplay it, and he understands the significance of it. But Carrick is so good at keeping a level head, and it doesn't matter if we're facing a good team, he seems to keep that keep the burden of pressure off the players. Do you know what I mean? He approaches every game the same. And I think we genuinely put a team out to win, no matter who we're facing. So I think we can expect to try and take maximum points. I'm really looking forward to the next few games. And I'm hoping that Sheffield United going through in the FA Cup, yes, they'll have games in hand. But when they come to play those games, I hope they're massively under pressure as a consequence of us winning our next few.
And no pangs of what might have been or remorse when you see Chris Wilder, now BBC pundit, basically talking about Sheffield United Tottenham?
No.
No. There you go. It's official. Thomas, what's your prediction for the Reading game?
Well, I think, I mean, given, you know, as Rob was talking about earlier on, the sort of tendencies of play and offending even BBC's Jeff Brown in the press conference as well. A couple of weeks ago when they played Sunderland. It might be a case of having to grind this one out, but, you know, it's just important. We've all of us have said this, that we need to just bounce back from last weekend, because it did feel like a blip. It really felt like a game that was a lot more comparable to the pre-Carrick era, so to speak. So we just need to get a result, I think, and continue this run, because as you say, there's a lot of opportunities this month for good results and piling on that pressure above and below.
Jenny, what's your prediction? You have a bit of a mixed track record recently in terms of where things are going for this one.
Oh, I'm rubbish at predictions, but I'm going to predict 1-0 to Middlesbrough.
Oh. Ian, are you going to match that, or is it a case of you're still in a curmudgeonly mood after the Manchester United debacle at Wembley?
Reading, I think, have lost the last four away games. Middlesbrough have won five and lost one of the last six games. Reading in seems to be resigned to being fined under the 6 points for some irregularities at the club. So I can't think. I mean, Middlesbrough must be favourites, and
Let's go from what's become the traditional scoreline of 3-1. Rob, what say you?
No, 2-0.
I was going to say 3-1. Absolutely.
There we are. Ian's gone 2-0, which is fine. Now is the time. Sean, have you had a chance to have a look at the magazine? Do you have a nominee for the article of the fanzine?
I do.
Yes.
How could we be in this podcast and me not give it to a wordsmith like Thomas?
Wow. There you are, you see. Debbie Routy. So a round of applause for Thomas Bartley. Drop the master, but he's still doing excellent stuff there. Hurrah. Well, Thomas, if you'd like to make a victory speech, feel free to do so. You've got a few moments.
Well, that's very kind of Sean, and Sean's contribution once again was absolutely fantastic. And I think a worthy mention too as well for Mike Kelly, who's I always enjoy reading his financial takes on clubs, and particularly pertinent, as we've said, about Reading this week. So yeah, that's always a regularly consistent performer in the fanzine, I think.
Fantastic. Rob, how can people actually read the thoughts of Sean Rye, Thomas Bartley, Mike Kelly, yourself and others by having a physical copy of Fly Me to the Moon, the fanzine?
Well, come and find me outside the match tomorrow. I'll be there for a couple of hours. It's just me selling tomorrow. I'm always standing in the same place, which is under the bridge at Shepperton Way. Or you can buy it online if you go to the website fmttmborough.com and click on fanzine shop, then you can order it and I'll post it out to you.
There we are. Splendid. Couldn't be easier from that point of view. So, Sean, have you enjoyed your first podcast audio, Fly Me to the Moon?
I've absolutely loved it, and thank you very much for the invite. It's been
well,
thoroughly
we kind
enjoyable.
Of thought long and hard, and we thought we've had far too many sort of mixtures of American souls who are great predictors but spend more time with pigeons than the football pitch. Anyway, they're based in Dublin, bless them. Folk based up in Newcastle, which is so with, you know, basically it's time to actually bring on the serious players. And there we are. We're already getting a legal sort of aspect coming through there immediately. Okay, Rob, I presume that Sean and Thomas are fully briefed in terms of this, so they know how we actually sign off and say farewell for the official Fly Me to the Moon podcast companion to issue 634, of course. That would be Reading.
Well, I don't think they do know, Alex. Oh, we'll have to give them a hint.
You mean they've never listened Thomas to the knows. Show before?
Oh, well, they might have done.
I think I can just about pull it out of the old memory from the previous couple of appearances, but yeah.
Okay then, right, Rob, would you like to lead us, please?
Right, on the count of three, we go, come on, Borough, and up the Borough, which is what we're hoping from this season. So 1, 2, 3, come on, Borough,
come on, Borough,
up the Borough.